This is the place where freedom of expression is essential to a free society, and we all support that. Welcome to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, bringing Carolina coast to coast and the speakeasy to your doorstep. Your host, Claudio, Renaissance man and bard of WCOM, has opened the doors of the speakeasy to invite you all to come as you are. You can come in your pajamas or without them. I mean, this is radio.
So come naked fine. If you please.
You can find a seat and get comfortable in the place where you're always welcome and can always expect the very best. Hello, Claudio.
Good morning. Good morning, Audrey. Good morning, everyone out there. We've got a unique little show coming up this morning, but first I'm going to acknowledge my sponsor, whom I haven't been here in 3 weeks to discuss, and that's the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham. We just finished the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, and I'm not sure exactly what's coming up in the not-too-distant future because they're still going through $1 million worth of renovations by the city, so it's going to be a whole different ballgame when you walk in there next time. But they are putting down some beautiful carpet. They wanted me to come in and help do some of that work, and when I smell that glue, I said, no, this will eat up my vocal cords, so I gave up any gigs there for the time being. But we're going to discuss Saxapaha today, and we'll get into that in just a moment. Once again, just touting the Carolina Theatre of Durham. Look up their information on them on their website, which is carolinatheatre.org. And this way I can say, hey, I touted you.
And theater is spelt T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
Of course, I spell it that way. I spell it that way naturally, so it never enters my mind to explain that, Lucy. Trying to get this microphone to hold still. This is giving me comic relief. The microphone keeps sinking to my chin. There we go.
I should have a camera here. We really need to get on TV.
Anyway, the person responsible for this dilemma we're in today is Trish Talbert, who refers to herself as a passionate consumer and Saxapaha resident. Saxapaha, doesn't that sound like something that comes out of the movie Deliverance? Come on over to Saxapaha and we'll see who can squeal like a pig the best.
I don't know. I always think sexy paws.
Sexy paws. Okay, there's another one. And we also have with us here today Mac Jordan, who is the principal Dreamweaver. And also you own Jordan Properties. Or you're real estate for Jordan?
Yes.
Explain this to me, Lucy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll let him explain it when we get him on air.
We'll have him on in a minute. We also have Heather LeGrade. She's in marketing. And read that to me, please.
That's right. Hall River Ballroom.
Hall River Ballroom. Thank you.
To the Hall River Ballroom. You're going to love it because there are going to be plenty of stories and music and every kind of thing you can imagine together. Yeah.
Wonderful.
And then they brought along a couple of friends.
And we also have Margaret
Donovan.
Jemison, who is mm-hmm. a ballroom partner. And I think that covers who we've got here, right? Oh, no. Whoops.
Donovan from Paperhand Puppet People, right?
My name's Donovan from Paperhand Puppet Intervention, yes.
Thank you.
Intervention. Okay, that's an interesting...
We are people.
That's an interesting concept. I didn't really realize these paper puppets needed interventions. Is this a psychological derivative?
No, it's actually the people that need the interventions, and the puppets just sort of help them along their
way.
There
we go. I'm glad we explained that. Let's begin to get concerned about Saxapaha.
No concerns. All good.
Let's get the microphone closer to the two of you, if you can, or you both get closer. Yeah.
That's good.
And then use your best projecting voice. Pretend you're in theater.
With an R-E.
Glad you're reminded. So, Trish, who shall we start off with here? You know this group best.
I would love to start off with Mac. You spoke earlier of renovation, and the Saxapaha stories that we're bringing today are renovation and restoration, maybe even a little resurrection. But at least in my mind, as a longtime resident, the story starts with Mac.
Wonderful. So, Mac, take the microphone and give us the scoop on Saxapaha, why you
and
love it.
Move it to you.
Yeah, see if we can move it to you. And careful we don't tip them glasses here. We've got a regular circus going on here, but we'll work it out.
This is the speakeasy in action. We've got
a crew
here today.
We have no idea where we're going, but we can't wait to get there.
Well, I've always loved Saxapaha. I grew up there, so it's been my hometown. And what I love about it is two things. One is the environment. It's just a beautiful scenic environment.
It really has a deep woods country feel.
Yes, yeah, and I feel closer to God when I'm in nature. And
I fully understand and agree.
I was walking through the woods recently with my son, and I saw in his eyes what I felt when I was his age, just at peace.
Yes.
And so, you know, when we're walking along the river and through the woods, wish the woods were more mature as they were when I was young. Mm-hmm.
When you say that, do you mean have they done a lot of logging?
They've done some logging, some select cutting, but luckily not as much clear cutting as you see.
Good.
Because
it's a misery around where I live. I moved there for the country, and they've cut half of it down since I've been there.
But there's still some oases of old growth. When you run across a huge oak tree, it's just, you got to grab it.
It's love. It's love at first sight.
Hug that thing. I mean, so it's that's what has always kept pulling me back to Saxbahaw. And then the people there that I grew up with.
What would you say the flavor is? Is it more of a village flavor?
Yeah. It was a village, mill village, so everyone worked together, went to school together, went to church together. They, everyone got on each other, each other's nerves.
And of course, remnants of the old mill are still there alongside the river, which is a beautiful sight too.
So, you know, that community and feel was really special growing up, and I've just been kind of trying to recapture that for my whole life.
Yeah,
I didn't want to give up on that way of life and that environment. So,
do you have a wooded area as your property, or
not as wooded as we'd like? Mm.
Yes, I know.
My wife would really like to be.
I'm in the deep woods where I moved from downtown Raleigh to Broadway, North Carolina, and the reason I moved was just because there was this jungle available. So
So that's what I love about it.
Wonderful.
And you've been dreaming about bringing a new life to Saxbahaw ever since your grad school days, right?
Actually, before. I was in high school and living it up in the 70s, you know, having a good time. But
yes, that's where we are.
And so in high school, I was taking art classes and not knowing exactly what I wanted to do, but Dad made sure I had something to do. And so I helped him on the farm and got my first job in the dye house, which is now the ballroom. That was my first job, cleaning the filters of the pot that's still there.
Oh, so
that's why I was really hoping y'all would keep that giant pot that anyone can see and when they come to the ballroom, which is the old dye house.
So you actually grew up in the area?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
wonderful. So where are you originally from?
Saxbahaw.
Really?
Saxbahaw.
Okay,
yes. Wow.
Yeah. Tell me that.
Believe it or not, yes, there are people. Yeah.
I thought he was a misplaced northerner.
Second generation. My grandfather came in the 20s.
Gotcha.
And then, so my father grew up in Saxbahaw and I grew up in Saxbahaw.
Incredible. We have a member of the tribe.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, you know, it started in the 70s. Dad had bought the village houses from the company because they didn't want the houses anymore to upkeep. Mm-hmm. And so there was a choice either, you know, let them just fall down, become derelict, or try to do something about it. And so he started remodeling, and I just love remodeling. I love taking something old and making something new out of it.
You like the carpentry aspect of it, or what is it?
I like the design aspect or the preservation more.
Wonderful.
But I love the work as well. I'm not a good carpenter.
Because I was going to say, some of that carpentry, I'm sure, is a little challenging.
It is. And luckily, my brother is a master. Uh-huh. Thank God. Because he can actually do the work. I can just look at it and say, oh, can we do this? And he goes, yeah, I can do it.
So you can help in the concept and design.
Yeah. And so that's what led me to architecture school.
Gotcha.
And so we started on remodeling the mill village houses. And I love the village. I love everything about it. I love the relationship of the houses and the way they nestle on the hill and overlook the river. But the, you know, the buildings themselves. And so, anything really old. I like old stuff.
Mm-hmm. The village.
I like new stuff too. Modern, as long as it's cool and well.
I think I like the old stuff more personally. But
yeah,
I think the village atmosphere is really lacking in much of today's culture.
Yeah,
because I grew up in I was born in a place called Dillingen in West Germany, which was full of rivers.
Yeah.
Blue Danube runs through there as well. And so I grew up with the village and everybody being your parent or your elder that you respected,
right.
Mentality. And,
yeah.
And I always just loved that spirit. So
yeah,
let's go over to...
It's something that's really missing in our culture. And it's so much better.
You just don't get it in cities and suburbs.
No, you don't.
Not the same.
Yeah, and so that's what we wanted to try to hold
preserve.
On to.
Good,
yeah,
good, good.
Yeah, yeah, and remake. And
wonderful.
And show others they can do it too. You know.
Well, let's switch over to Heather for a minute. Your ballroom. Give us a scoop on that.
Well, we
obviously it was taken from an older building and.
It was. I might just jump back and brag on Mac for 1 second because he
That's
won't.
Fine.
He won't himself. But it really was, you know, Mac who had that vision to save the town and have rather than after the textile industry departed, mm-hmm. rather than let everything fall apart, to save it and have a renaissance. And like you're saying, to try to be a model, a national model for rural rehab.
And may I ask how your influence was spread? I mean, how was it that you had that kind of authority?
Well. Luckily, Dad had the vision. He programmed me.
And he made me a robot in the studio.
And he made me work. But luckily, I love the work.
But you're breaking the mold a little bit, Mac.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I just, you know.
How many developers have you heard who talk about hugging oak trees?
Yes, exactly. My kind of guy.
None of us would be working with Mac if we thought Mac was not like Mac. You know, Mac is a very unusual person who loves... You know, he loves where he grew up, and that's that mm-hmm. village feeling, like you're saying. We've all come to live there. We've all come to raise our families there because it feels like an old Brigadoon coming back in time with really nice, modern, environmental, progressive elements, but it's a sweet step back in time.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well said.
Matt built well. He really did. He attracted the other Dreamweavers. He attracted the entrepreneurs, and that's before our time is up today. I really want to get us into... talking about all the different small businesses that have come there, because that's how we're going to sustain that whole village. It can't be done on just charitable contributions, though philanthropy's great. I've worked in it all my life. I want to see us do more philanthropy out of what comes out of Saxpaha, but it's got to start with that one thing, which I think was the renovation of the old mill for residential, a little bit of commercial purposes in the beginning, but you attracted a whole group of residents who then, of course, needed services, and then you built on what was there. That river is gorgeous. And Saxpaha is in a place on the river that I think just beats any of the other old textile towns around, partly because, and you use the right word, Mac, nestled. It's just nestled there on the river. And that river just sparkles at certain times of the day. And so you pull in
people.
A little bit more now. You pull in people like Joe Jacob that runs the kayak and canoe. And then you begin to build on the winery business there with Benjamin Winery and others. And the ballroom's just the latest. So I'll turn it back over to you.
Are you finding that like-minded people are moving there?
Thank goodness. I tell you what, I mean we really did step out on faith on a huge limb. I mean, we didn't know if this thing was gonna fly or really flop badly, but we just believed in it, and it was our home. So you do what you can to help your home and protect it and make it better. And so, yeah, it's always been that first. And so we just did it. We started doing it, and people started, we felt like people would be attracted to it and believe in the same things we believed in and liked. And self-sufficiency, being more environmentally conscious, just appreciating community, appreciating family. That was really started by my dad, and I did take it to another extreme
level.
But it wasn't.
And what was that level?
I don't know yet.
Uh-huh.
It keeps going far beyond what I ever dreamed.
But in the positive sense.
Yeah, it's because, I mean, my goodness, Donovan and I go way back to the early 90s, and that was one of those epiphany moments in my life mm-hmm. when the Haw River Festival came through Saxbahaw. They had started their learning celebration, I believe, in 89, 90. Uh-huh. And if you don't know who they are, that's the an environmental group based out of Bynum whose mission is to protect and improve the quality of the water and the watershed in the Haw River Valley and be environmental advocates. And
Quick question, sidetracking here. Are there any industries out there that are actually putting wastewater into the river, or is that?
Not much anymore. Okay. But
so it was a concern?
Oh, yeah. When I grew up, as I was feeling close to God in the woods and along the river, when I crossed over the bridge to go to school, mm-hmm. I walked to school, you know, we could see raw waste and multicolored dyes, and it was kind of a game for us. I mean, we're like, oh, wow, look, you can see what's floating down the river today. And, suds, you know, sometimes suds would just float up. And so that had a real impact. And, of course, not being able to get in the river, you know, you didn't go to the river because it was
poisoned, essentially.
Poisoned.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing that lived there but maybe turtles.
From what I know, this is Donovan speaking. In 1970, the river was classified as a dead river.
Really?
And so it's gone through, speaking of rebirths and renaissance, I mean, the river has totally come back to a thriving, you know, space for lots and lots of wildlife. And, you know, see eagles and osprey and herons. And, I mean, just there's a lot of wildlife that's returned. And, I mean, just and again, speaking as someone who moved to Saxpaw 10 years ago, what he's speaking of, you know, I moved my what wasn't really a puppet business mm-hmm. at the time. Into,
Where did you come from?
I lived in Bynum.
Okay.
But before that, I came from Ohio long in the way back.
Gotcha.
But anyway, when I arrived there, I moved into this derelict building that was just completely wrecked with big holes in the floor. And I mean, it was a forgotten...
The mill,
yeah,
okay.
which is now the Haw River Ballroom and condos and all this incredible
Amazing.
Stuff. But I mean, it's to watch that transformation over the last 10 years has been, you know, just astounding. I mean, literally, we were just in there, feeling like these vagrant. You know, it was really. I mean, it was very generous. Mac let us be in there because it had no other use except for storage of a bunch of old.
You were doing me a favor.
There was a bunch of old broken stuff and big holes in the floor. I mean, it was really kind of a sketchy place. And then also the what's actually now the river mill was just a completely abandoned, you know, there was like some skateboarders in there. And, you know, it was just this crazy scene. And then to watch it go through the transformation in the past few years has just really been a miracle. I mean, you know, it's just wild to watch. And now our business has moved down into the old community center, which is right in the center of town, right on the river, just above the canoe and kayak place, Haw River Canoe and Kayak. And we make giant puppets and create shows there and do them all over the triangle.
I'd rather come see this.
And our business is thriving.
We are
just getting more and more incredible offers for collaborations all the time. With the North Carolina Opera, with the Chamber Orchestra, with the Moorhead Planetarium. And being there in Saxbahaw, we sort of have, in a way, co-ridden a wave of resurgence of energy coming out of that area. And my wife and I live there on a small farm that's basically a homestead that's we're doing on solar power.
All right. I would love to get to that
point. So there's a whole sustainable movement that's a part of this that my family is involved with. And, you know, and there are some places where the old and the new are sort of meeting in interesting ways, as you can imagine.
I can, yes.
But there's also there's a lot of bridges being built there, and I think it's a beautiful thing.
You say a lot of bridges being built. Is that a good thing?
Oh, definitely.
Between community. Yes.
I see. You meant that symbolically. Never mind. I was imagining bridge building. I couldn't imagine too many of those being a good thing. Sorry.
Not physical.
Yes, I understand.
Yep.
Pardon.
All right, this is Margaret speaking. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, which had a strong sense of community as no well. Where I know it was actually a suburb. I wasn't in a tiny. Well, it was kind of like a tiny village. Mm-hmm. But I also saw a culture that was, like a lot of us have seen, that was kind of segmented. We were segmented off from each other by classism and by racism.
Right, I'm sure.
And really, as a, you know, as a child, really wanted to see people come together more, mm-hmm. and just saw the injury that, that people sustained from by being shut out, but also by be shut shutting, by being shut in.
Mm-hmm. I can see that too. Know? Yes.
And. Even though it didn't look like as everyone's getting along and everything's fine, you know, there was still underneath, oh, there was like a yearning for more connection and more mm-hmm. bridges, like you're saying, being built. And I had about, I guess about 15 years ago, I had this picture of like a venue where, because I'm also interested in people's stories, uh-huh. you know, and where people who are sort of tucked away, I think people are really interesting. Who you yeah. meet on the, you know, at the bus stop, you know, it's like there's people have so many stories and doing so many interesting things, and they just, and they, I think it's interesting when people come together to talk about those interesting things.
Not enough voices being heard.
Exactly.
Yeah. My primary reason for starting the show.
Exactly. And so I was kind of, I came here, I went to school here back in the 80s, but I came back here about 11 years ago and met Heather maybe 6 years ago or 7 years ago, and I think through conversation sort of said, oh, yeah, I had this idea. And Heather being somebody who was like scouting for people to sort of plant their ideas, mm-hmm, you know, yeah. or to manifest their ideas, it yeah. said, at one day she said, you know, have you ever thought about manifesting that idea down at the mill? And I was like, the mill? The mill? What, my idea? What? And so, and I had been making puppets with Donovan and kind of
oh,
putting
goodness,
and
okay.
tying bandanas around my... You know, my face to try to not breathe in the asbestos or whatever
oh,
it was
Lord,
that
okay.
I was like, gonna be, you know, trying to make my way through to get to this, you know, to the puppet making. I don't know what was in that mill mag, but anyway, it's
better now.
It is better now. It's better now. But and I went and sat in the mill for in that space for quite a while and ended up saying, okay, I'll do it. And what I feel very grateful for is that Heather and Tom were actually thinking about the coffee shop part of it, and mm-hmm. but Tom, being 6'11", couldn't actually stand up full way in the coffee shop space
oh, no.
that they were going to be in. And they ended up one day, you know, she said, we were talking about it, and we came...
Don't raise the bridge, lower the river.
right. But she said, you know, we were thinking we really want to be part of this project, but we don't necessarily want to just be in the coffee shop. We want to really be in the event center. And mm-hmm. I just kind of like, I said, phew, really? And that's sort of... That's our story. It's
interesting.
Where we started.
Well, for anyone tuning us in, just to remind you, yeah. you're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM, and I'm here in the studio with my wonderful co-host, Audrey Layden, who also has a show of her own, Carolina. I'm actually changed
Carolina
the title.
Carolina Bookbeat.
Which is not, is it Carolina Bookbeat?
Carolina
okay,
Bookbeat. We spread out. We're not just Carrboro Bookbeat anymore. We're located in Carrboro, but
gotcha.
We're covering the Carolinas.
And today's topic of conversation is about Saxapaha, and Trisha, I'm going to let you introduce everybody that's here so I don't mess up.
Well, we've got four people here from Saxapaha, actually five, including me, and they are all involved in the restoration, renovation, resurrection of Saxapaha, a wonderful mill village. If you haven't come out, part of our reason for being here this morning is to get you out because it's magic. And I'm just going to do first names. I'm going to do Heather, who's our key marketing person for all that is wonderful about Saxapaha, and she's probably going to want to talk about the ballroom. And we've got Donovan from Paper Hand Puppet Intervention, and also a longtime resident of Saxapaha, Matt Jordan, who's our principal dream weaver, and who's been around trying to make that dream happen for a long, long time, and Margaret, who is also part of the Making the Magic Happen with stories and connecting and creating and working with Heather on that whole idea. And I'm just a passionate consumer and part-time ambassador.
Who started all this trouble today?
I did, and I'm so happy to do it. And I'm going to turn the microphone back over to Claudio now, but I'll say Saxapaha's magic, and we just want you to come out and get your piece of it.
Well spoken. Who wants the mic next? Heather, I tried you once, but you gave it away, so back to you again.
I'd like to do that again by talking about some of the other things.
Aim that mic at yourself.
Okay.
There
so,
we go.
You know, I would say I cringe hearing myself as a marketing person. I don't think of myself as that, and mm-hmm. I just think of myself also as a resident who lives there and loves that town.
Passionate about the
place.
You
know, really believe in that mission, and so we concocted this idea of a farmer's market and a music series as a way to bring people together 7 years ago, and a way to have the old and the new communities join and cherish the arts and the locavore superfood, wonderful community, healthy superfood, mm-hmm. wonderful yes. community out there. And got Jeff and Cameron to come in, wonderful people who now run the general store, the Saxbaugh General Store, which was our first step forward, our, you know, one of the bigger steps forward in terms of getting people together and fostering healthy food and yummy stuff in one place for gathering. And then Doug and Claire came in, and they opened the Eddie Restaurant and Pub, which has just been a beautiful, very gussied up next step. The ballroom
the
is there. The Eddie. And the Eddie is named after like an Eddie in the river.
I was wondering. Good.
Yeah, and also Doug's dad. But
I'm
just,
an old sea dog. That's
oh,
what I was wondering.
Yes. Well, it's just incredibly growing, sweet team of people. You know, Donovan and his wife, Leah, and Leah does work at The Bridge, which is this wonderful, wonderful place for healing and restoration of bodies and movement. Mm. And then there is now the Saxbaugh Artists Group Co-op, which is a growing, wonderful venue for art. And there is, as you've said, the Paper Hand Puppet and the Benjamin Vineyards, and there's
even
more
a vineyard.
Pottery folks around. And
doesn't Saxbaugh have a Facebook page? Yeah.
Yes, it's actually SX.
I think I liked it.
Yeah, SXPHW, so Saxbaugh without the A's.
Uh-huh.
Yes, because it was my daughter's idea to make this bumper sticker when she was like 3. Uh-huh. Let's take out the A's. And so so that and the market, the farmer's market goes from the beginning of May through the end of August every single Saturday night, and we have amazing farmers. Many of them are in Carrboro the market here, but mm-hmm. most of them actually live out near Saxbaugh. So this is their rest market in the evening. They come out and they hang out and they dance to the music. We have a crazy three-ring circus market with a slip and slide for kids and bubbles.
Perfect.
And beautiful bands and great setup. And
now you're
the
saying,
last one is this weekend. So
you're saying evening. Does that mean it's not
evening.
Open during the day?
It's not. It goes from 5 to 8 because we all
like
to sleep in
yes,
and
it's cooler at that time of day.
We thought it was a just much more civilized way to do a market.
So to be like a little direct here, so that our listeners know, if they want to find out more about what's going on at Saxbaugh, they don't necessarily have to call you.
What's the websites Facebook page
and stuff?
Is probably one of the best places to go for everything.
Right.
So it's just SXPHW. RiverMillVillage.com is the main website that has connections and links to every business in town
Great.
And everything going
Rivermill.
On. RiverMillVillage.com.
Okay.
And there's the HawRiverBallroom.com. There's PaperHandPuppet.org.
PaperHand.org.
And
there's the Bridge.
There's the Bridge.
People have Pilates, yoga. You can get in touch with massage therapists.
Yep.
And tell people how to find Saxbaugh.
So to get to Saxbaugh, you mean physically?
Yeah.
So
how do you get
the beautiful
there?
Secret.
Supposed to be a secret.
Yeah, we can't tell you, actually.
It's on a map under a rock somewhere.
It's just teasing. It's
MapQuest does not work.
No, it
does.
Good.
It won't find it.
It won't. It's technically, Saxbaha is not incorporated magically. Uh-huh. Part of the magic is that.
Yeah.
So actually, it is hard to find on a GPS, but it is 15 miles out of Carrboro if you're heading west towards Graham.
On 54.
On 54. And then there is an actual sign that says
it's an actual left-hand turn.
There's a left-hand
coming
turn.
Coming from Chapel Hill.
That's right. And it's really a
And that brings you right into the heart of
here.
Town.
Yep, it does. You really can't miss it. It's a beautiful little place, and you know, as you drive across the river, we were driving home last night. We live across the river on an old dairy farm, and my daughter just turned back and looked at the place lit up and said, "Mommy, Saxbaugh is just so beautiful." You know, and I feel like that's what we feel about our town. So, but I do want to say one thing, which is that part of the fabulous magic of Saxbaugh is that this Friday night we have a big band coming. Orchestra Gardel is coming to the Haw River Ballroom. Huge salsa Saxbaugh fiesta dance. And there's going to be free salsa class before the actual concert.
So we don't all look stupid.
So we don't, because Southern Living Magazine is going to come take pictures, so we really don't want to. But so if you spread the word, come on out to that. It's going to be a great night. And then the next day is the last Saturday in Saxbaugh of the season with the Rye Mountain Boys, who are an incredible bluegrass band. So yeah, that's
wonderful.
And then Donovan has some great shows this
weekend. Let's hear some more about your puppets. Pull the mic to you.
Oh, well,
this is Donovan.
We are just, I mean, mostly I'm here representing, you know, Saxbaugh Hall, and you know, but
well, you're part of it.
Yes, I mean, I guess I'm a small business owner, like I, you know, and Paperhand runs shows every summer. We do shows throughout the year. We're sort of
explain exactly what it is, so that the audience out there will. I know the puppetry says something, but I'm sure you could explain it a little more graphically.
Yeah, they're big sort of artistic explosions, basically, of because every different creative force comes to play. There's live music, there's theater, there's art, there's you know, pretty much there's dance, there's just any art form that you can think of comes together. in this sort of, you know, basically you were saying about being a Renaissance man. I mean, it's a, again, it's a, you know, it, all the different.
A Renaissance region.
Yes. And it is all about story. It's about people's personal story. It's about the universal story. Mm-hmm. And so we do these shows, they're pageants and they're, you know, they're for all ages, and we are running them through Labor Day at the Forest Theater every weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And, you know, we get huge crowds. People,
wonderful.
You know, it's a tradition for many people. We've been doing it for 12 years now. And people come out and have a great time. You can bring a picnic. You bring something soft to sit on because it's just a big stone amphitheater called the Forest Theater. It's, you know, and I'd love to start doing more stuff. More shows. We have been doing shows in Saxapahoa. We've turned our little community center into a theater and run several shows there in the winter. In the summer, it gets unfortunately a little too hot in our building. Yes. To actually,
fall is coming.
Yeah, people just walk in and they just go right onto the floor because they're sort of, you know, just affronted with this sort of heat wave in the face. But we're, you know, that's what we do. They're, you know, they are just a, it's very community oriented.
Now, do you have a website where people can find out more about you and contact
yes,
you?
Yes, it's paperhand.org. I don't really have much else except
that's okay.
That, you know,
that's
I just,
okay.
You know,
we can pass the buck right here. It's all right.
Yeah, sure.
And you have some shows. You're in a show right now, right? I mean, you've got a show at the Forest yes. Theater right now that's going to end.
It ends on Labor Day. Yeah, I did. I said that. I'll say it again. Come on down to the Forest Theater.
Absolutely.
You know, it's called The Serpent's Egg. Yes.
Ah.
And it,
interesting. Is that in any way influenced by Ingmar Bergman?
I have not
He's
seen that
a baby.
Film. But
okay.
I.
Gotcha.
What did you say? Oh, yeah.
So his wife's having a baby.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Okay.
And I like snakes. And,
wait a minute now.
Yeah, and babies. And there are babies and eggs, yes. And there's giant...
It was also the title of a famous film many moons ago that Ingmar Bergman directed.
Yes, I am familiar. I didn't actually see the film.
Carradine, I believe, is in it. Carradine, yeah.
But when I Googled it, and of course it came up first. Yes, but anyway, yeah, I mean, thanks to so many people here, because like Paper Hand's success is based on a web of community involvement
no
that...
Doubt.
I mean, I put certainly all the energy and lifeblood that I have into it, but all the people sitting in this room, except for you three.
Uh-huh. Yeah, single us out, will you?
Well, I mean, have just really supported our work so tremendously that it's impossible to really
express. Well, might I say we're supporting you now, old chap.
To express the, you know, appreciation and thanks that I have for, you know, how much that these three, you know, Mac, Margaret and Heather have done for Paper Hand. I'm just sort of getting overwhelmed with it right now, thinking about how great it is to be in the same room with these three and just feel that support coming to our work and to the vision that we've been trying to create over the years. And thanks to that, it's come a long way, and we're making it.
Congratulations on pulling it off. And I'm sure there are many listeners here that would be interested in that very subject and that very type of entertainment as well. I know I would. So
come on
well, I
down.
I know it's hugely popular around town. I mean, I've heard about it from my daughter, who always gets to the shows.
And you're right.
Everybody around. You know.
People do hear a puppet show and they just go, hmm.
Yeah. Have it's a limited impression, which is the reason I wanted you to expound more.
Well, when they say paper hand puppets, I know exactly. Around this town knows paper hand puppets.
Yeah, it's true. But I mean, every time we get new people who come in, and the reason that they didn't come for years was that they were like, puppet show, I don't really do that. It's like kind of like little puppets yammering on. And it's really not like that. It's something completely different than what you think. So come on out and get surprised.
These are giant puppets.
Yeah, I mean, it's theater at its best. It really is.
I can well imagine. Well, it fits into so many elements, from the storytelling to drama to you could even accompany it with orchestration.
There is orchestration.
And so
there's
wonderful.
There's music.
And there's meaning behind it.
No doubt.
And it's just great to be surrounded by people who are humble and and so incredible.
Humble to the art,
No, humble about themselves.
Right, I know I'm saying humble to the art. Because so many people have their egos getting in the way.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and that's what has been wonderful about working in Saxapahoa is, and the people that are that have plugged in, it isn't about the person. It's about the community.
Exactly.
And it's about trying to do, bring your gifts to a greater cause. And the cause is community. Mm-hmm. And Lee Brown, who's one of the therapists at the Bridge, she has been there about 10 years, and so she's a relative old-timer. Mm-hmm. She's also an artist, and she said, I just get the feeling that this is a place of healing. And that kind of goes to the core of what I think we're all after, because our lives, we make ourselves so sick.
Stress
out. The way we treat each other, the way we treat ourselves, and so the way to get out of that is to come to a place where we do care about each other, and we help each other, and we work together, and we respect each other's amazing gifts.
Here, here.
No doubt.
I mean, I just get completely blown away by the talent and the just amazingness of individuals that I run into, and these three are three of the most amazing. And but as we keep working, more and more get uncovered. People say, well, you know, how are you doing? I say, well, just work with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Who's there? And when Donovan and I first ran into each other at the Learning Celebration back in the early 90s, he was making these giant puppets and singing at the Hall River Festival. And that whole community of teachers and educators and environmentalists and musicians and artists and just people that cared,
mm-hmm.
I met them. And so that just opened up all of the other people that I weren't familiar with that were living right here.
Incredible. And it's amazing what comes forth when you take out politics and religion, and people are just allowed to blossom on their own.
That's right.
Individuality.
Yeah. So we're big cheerleaders for each other. And Heather, I mean, she is so amazing. I mean, you are. Yeah, I mean...
She moves in dance.
Yeah. You know, it's just... You meet incredible people throughout your life, and some change your life.
Absolutely.
Forever.
I know that.
And,
really well.
You know, Heather and Tom are two of those people that help make my dream possible, and my family's dream. So, you know, thanks.
You can tell we all love each other up here.
Yeah. Yes. You know, there's lots of love. Yeah.
That's what's so sweet about that town, and there's still people coming in that are joining in.
That's true. Village element.
It's everyone has different hats and different things they do together. Our families are combined. You would not believe the.
So you're not really competing
boom.
With each other. You're just sharing.
We don't care.
We don't care, right?
We don't care who you are, what you are.
And nobody has titles.
How you
look. It's not like that. It's kind of. And what ends up happening going forward is that weird, wonderful weaving of community and collaboration and innovation is happening. And then you actually backtrack and find these other connections that happened years ago, or jobs or things you did that you can now play into what's happening in Saxpaw. I mean, Margaret was part of the Haw River Assembly in the old days, and also part of Paper and Puppet, and now she's in the ballroom. And Mac has been there his whole life, but has been bringing people in from all over. And as we go forward with, you know, having a very large performance space, because the ballroom's huge, it's a 700-plus capacity space.
Goodness.
We end up trying to bring in people from all of our lives to come and let it be bringing the world to Saxpaw.
Yeah.
And hopefully bringing some of the sweetness of Saxpaw to the world. I think that's our...
Just don't let the world stay.
Yeah, don't let them stay. Yeah,
come visit.
That's true. The Monty's happening, which is a really fabulous storytelling series. And just like Saxpaw, it's going to have some people that are not from Saxpaw and two people that were born and raised there their whole lives.
Wonderful.
Telling those stories. And there's... Donovan's wife has orchestrated this beautiful event for African women farmers. So we've got American women farmers joining together as a chorus to sing in solidarity with African women farmers, and Paper Hand Puppet is coming in September 14th, and Jelly Sisico and Karaba is coming to donate a performance. I mean, there is so much philanthropic love and giving that's happening in that town. And it's all in a setting that is, I will have to say, it's important to us that it's geothermal, it's solar. You know, we really tried to do everything sustainably. And we're really committed to trying to have a very sustainable, loving, special place for people. And people are welcome to join in.
And these folks are so blooming well-spoken. I love the way you're describing it.
Yeah, and I would say just sort of underscore that and say that, and we're not, the ballroom is not about us coming up with all the ideas. Yeah.
I understand.
And presenting them and people enjoying themselves and coming together and then going home. But actually it's a community space where if anybody listening, if you have ideas and inspirations, like I'd really love to see this on this stage or that on this stage, or you know what, I've got a great friend who's doing something really interesting and I'd love to have them, I miss them. And I'd also love to have them come down and talk about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's one of the inspirations. One of the things that's kept Heather and I sort of encouraged and fueled, because we miss our friends terribly, and they're really far, some of them are really far away, and we think they're doing interesting things, and we want another way of kind of...
We have a place now, drop by.
Of, you know, our excuse. Yeah, it's like, come here, you know. Yeah. But if you have ideas or inspirations... you know, we want to hear what they are. So get in touch with us. Mm-hmm. And we can, would love to collaborate with you.
And I want
to
mention
that. How are they going to get in touch with you? You've got a contact you can, on your
so
Facebook
any
page?
Of us at HowlRiverBallroom.com, it's our first name. So okay. Heather at HowlRiverBallroom.com, Margaret at HowlRiverBallroom.com, Tom at HowlRiverBallroom.com.
And I want to give a shout out to Tricia, who sort of encouraged me about this radio show many moons ago, and it's finally come to fruition.
So kind
so thank
of you.
You, Tricia.
Thank you.
She definitely put this thing on the table. I'd like to dedicate something to, you know, you were talking about tree hugging, and I'm definitely a tree hugger. I love trees. One of the, when I moved out to my land, and I moved into a wooded area that had last been populated by the American Indian, never developed by white man, so, and you can't see me from the road. I'm deep in the woods, and all I've done is cut a little circle for myself to live, and the rest is wild. Yeah. So it's amazing what visits me out there. But I remember when I had the septic put in, I had worked a night shift, and I came home, and the first thing, this big old redneck comes out of it, goes to his pickup truck, picks up his chainsaw and says, sir, mister, I'll be glad to cut these two oaks down for you if you'd like me to get them out of your way. And I looked at him and I said, before you touch those oaks, you can put up an outhouse. But they're not leaving, so he put that chainsaw right back. But moons ago, I wrote a piece just to explain how I feel about trees. And it's a winter scene. It's called Skeletal Repose, and I'd like to dedicate it to this moment today. I know Audrey knows it. It goes... The swaying, rhythmic, restless stride of winter branches thin and wide, so skeletal in their repose as windward motions they expose, like arms that reach beyond man's prayers where distant realms greet distant stares, and yet beyond allure defined they reach within the soul, the mind, to all that speaks of God to me when I gaze long upon a tree.
Yes. Beautiful.
Mm. Thank you. I just wanted to dedicate that to the moment.
One of my favorite poems of yours, Cloudy.
Thank you.
Awesome. Which I always
like
tell them, do that one, do that one.
I have a great love for trees, and it sickens me to see these lumber trucks with trees that won't grow back in our lifetime. And they're just one after another, hundreds by the week. And it's just, it's sickening that we're doing that to Mother Earth. We're literally depriving the earth of its lungs.
Right. So. And ourselves.
Yes, and ourselves, exactly. That's why I'm glad I live in the thick of a forest.
Well, maybe you can come to the ballroom and actually get up on the stage and read some of your poetry.
I won't say no to that. I definitely want to come out and see it. It's been many moons since I've been there. Got a friend there. I don't know if he's still there, but Chris Lackey, a master carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know him?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Chris bought his land for my dad.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. Small world. Hello, Chris, if you're listening. I used to hang out with him. As a matter of fact, he built one of my... I do a show called Seafarers, which is maritime, mm-hmm. sort of classical maritime, that I wrote after a decade at sea. And he built me one of my best props for it while hanging out with him and just having a good time in his shop.
I think Chris had the first passive solar house in Saxbahaw, other than maybe Chris Carter, mm-hmm. who is Solar Village Institute. Chris helps Donovan... And Chris is a genius.
Please tell him hello for me, because I haven't seen him in a decade or more.
Chris Lackey. I'm sorry. Oh, Chris Carter. Yes.
Ding dong.
Both of them are geniuses.
Does a show on WCOM.
Yes, he does. That's right.
On Wednesday morning.
Yeah, Solar Jack.
Jack Martin.
He's one of those
it's
mad
home
scientists.
Power
hours.
Yes. I mean, right. He's great.
Incredible. And so, you know, back in the 70s when we started this crazy thing, you know, it was the energy crisis, inflation, the economy was a wreck.
And how is today different?
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, right. Things circle around. But, you know, Dad, who's a hardcore conservative, was putting in passive solar porches on the mill houses, put solar panels on his roof, put in wood stoves for the houses, insulate. I mean, but it was from practicality as well as a philosophy. Right. It's a philosophy of being practical and being a good steward,
right,
at the same time, and not being wasteful.
The thing most of us are taking for granted.
Yeah, we're so wasteful. It's just
insane.
It's just crazy. But yeah, I mean, that's just anyway. I don't know where that was going, but
no.
It's going in the direction of sustainable living is the most practical way forward.
Which
to
is
survive.
What I'm.
That's it.
So doing let's my best all to get on board. To. Come on now, people.
Yeah. It's time. That's the new job, guys. Why aren't we talking more? Our politicians seem to yield to the rich every chance they get, no matter what the incentive of going green and all that was laid on the table initially is. All of a sudden, it's on the back burner because the oil companies want another bite. So I am all for going green. That should be the new employment, as far as I'm concerned, because there's so much we can do on just energy that's around us.
Yeah. Mac and Heather managed to get a number of the local politicians out when we dedicated the Saxapahaw Cultural Museum, which we have not talked about yet, and don't
still
think stereotypical museums, still in the works, but Mac pulled in a couple of the older buildings. If you want to say anything about that, please do.
It's another dream of ours, again, to give honor and to the folks that came before us, all the folks. It kind of started with me wanting to save the African American schoolhouse that was in the area, and it was slated by us as those awful developers that we are.
Are we talking about a one-room type schoolhouse?
Yes, it was a one-room schoolhouse, and we were doing a little development, and so it needed to be moved. And I didn't want to, again, not wanting to throw away anything, and especially something that important, I said, let's save it. And so we moved it. It's still sitting kind of in its derelict condition, but that was sort of the genesis of this idea of a cultural history museum. Mm-hmm. And so our dream is to have the African American history, the Native American history, the textile history, the community history, all represented in our village way. I mean,
and Mac, I'll say Nettie Baldwin, who's one of the organizers for the African American Schoolhouse, is going to be one of the speakers in the Monty.
Awesome.
So she's going to come and talk about her history and her experience in that building and her life in Saxapahaw.
Sounds to me like that place would be a great little stage for some smaller theatrical productions.
Definitely.
The one-room schoolhouse idea.
Oh, man.
To be in that ambiance.
Yeah. We're in a race against time because that generation are dying every day. And their stories are going with them. And I know that Heather and Margaret and the Hallbridge School and a lot of folks are interested in trying to do oral history of the folks that grew up there, that whose lives and whose experiences are phenomenal, and if we don't get them, we'll never know.
The trick would be to capture as many as you can on film somehow.
Yeah,
everything's a camera too now. So
we're going to start doing that in the ballroom. So we're going to be doing either a weekly or a monthly. We're deciding with local folks. People coming in to do storytelling series,
Wonderful.
We'll record it. We'll do an audio version, so that could be shared anywhere, but also a visual version, and that after the Monty will be launched.
I think the best way not to intimidate some of these older folks that might have a little fear of getting in front of the microphone is just to sort of turn on a recording system and create a little back porch conversation.
That's great.
Because then I can see them just pouring forth with their amazing stories.
I think it would be incredible, actually, to hear this, have this record the stories of people at other, in other towns and other cities and other states, actually. Mm-hmm. So the bridges are actually longer than just the local communities.
Reflect on the web of life.
Exactly. So that you're sitting there and you're going, wow. I mean, Heather and I have talked about, I grew up in Birmingham and right in the middle of the civil rights movement. Mm. And there are activists up here who will probably love to meet the activists that are in Birmingham, you know, we're in Birmingham. I mean, I would love to like sit and hear them have a conversation on the stage and tell those stories,
right,
for example. But that when people link up, it's one of the things that we're trying to do with the, or intend to do with Leah's event, is to support the African women farmers in Chad, is to link this community with that community. So
create,
we're talking
create
about
support systems.
Create support systems. So it's like, you know, you are not alone. You know, it's like we hear you out there. We're gonna, and maybe it's just, who knows how, you know, how important the letters are, maybe, that we might write, or the money that we might generate to send to them. You know, but you know, what difference it makes to them on sort of a spirit soul level, you might say,
right,
or whatever. It's like, wow, you know. But it's, I think it's worth efforting. You know,
I think
to
so
say,
too.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear you. I see you.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, we've got about 5 minutes before we wrap up the show. So anybody wanting to give contact information, let's go ahead and do it now. One more time. It doesn't hurt.
So we have the main website, might be, I suggest, is rivermillvillage.com. That's got links to everything in town.
We're talking about Saxapaha, North Carolina, right down the road, kids.
And then on Facebook, it's SXPHW. And on Twitter, it's at Saxapaha.
Wonderful. Donovan, want to add anything of yours?
Well, our group, Paperhand Puppet Intervention, can be found on the web at paperhand.org. And we've got all the information about our upcoming events and what we've got going on right now, our show at the Forest Theater. So you can go check it out there. We also have a Facebook page, but I guess you just type in Paperhand Puppet Intervention. I don't really know what the actual...
Once you're on Facebook.
Yeah.
And what about you, Mac? Want anything else to add?
You can reach me through our website, rivermillvillage.com, as well. And I just want to thank you guys for talking to us.
Oh, it's been
a
pleasure.
A few upcoming things in Saxapaha that would be interesting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We have a mud run,
uh-huh,
which is going to be put on by the highway patrol officers and firemen and EMTs. They came to me.
Interesting contrast.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the theme is honor, and it's on September 10th. And it's going to be a really cool, fun event to watch. I think they've got over 150 contestants now that are going to race. And the money raised is going to the Eve Carson Scholarship Fund here at UNC. Is that right?
Explain to us what that is.
That was the student... president that was murdered a few years back.
I'm aware, but I just want the general public to
And it's for teachers, or a teacher scholarship, is
wonderful.
That right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so that's September 10th. The same day is a hoedown, is that right? The Saxapaha Barn Hoedown at the Roxy Farm Antiques, which is another business in Saxapaha. Quickly, there is a river art walk, which is coming up September 24th, I believe, by the Saxapaha Artists Co-op.
All right. Gotcha.
And then we have Oktoberfest coming up, of course, and then it's just always something going on in
Sounds
our little
like
village.
It.
It's just wild.
Wonderful.
So come visit.
Margaret, anything else to add?
Just we're at HawRiverBallroom.com, and don't hesitate to look at the website and come to the events and also give us your ideas.
And just remember, Saxapaha is right down the road. Tricia, thank you for bringing these folks. Anything else you'd like to add before
thank
we go
you.
Off?
Just the date of Oktoberfest, October 22nd, which is also my birthday. So everybody
all
come
right.
out.
All right.
Cool.
Come out to say happy birthday, if nothing else. Well, you're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM. And I'm going to let you run through all the names one more time, Tricia, that I'd like to thank my guests.
Heather, who is now our chief creative officer instead of our marketing person, and Donovan and Mac and Margaret. Thank you all so much.
And
thank
Tricia.
You, Audrey and Claudio.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
And this is the Speakeasy. You keep us tuned in and we'll keep you turned on. Until next time, cheers.